Hi, my name's Billy Bragg, and you're listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
You're listening to Sheffield On 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live.
Yeah, Friday, the 4th of April, and welcome to Sweet Talking Sport. I think we're having some kind of like technical issues in the studio, and that's what you get with kind of like live shows, so I'm not really sure how it's coming through on the airways, so if you cannot kind of get a connection, you might be able to link it after, you know, I think it's 19:20, you'll be able to hear the kind of like recording of this. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, keep this show to yourself, you have been told. And you know, our resident kind of guest on my right hand side, I've got Mr. G.
Yeah, all gone people, Dyer, you know.
And also we've got a man called CV, who's here with us too.
Good evening, good evening.
And
hold on, before we go any further, let me ask you something. You good?
Yeah,
are you
yeah,
may I talk
yeah,
to you?
Yeah,
are you may I talk to you?
Everything
you're
nice.
Sweet this week, you're alright this
nice.
Week?
Everything nice. Last
sure?
week
sure? was a little bit upset, you know, so.
A little bit.
I wouldn't say upset.
My
just,
man
just,
out in church
just
last
personality.
Week.
Just it's just a little personality.
Do you remember this moving at the chair?
I come out.
Do you remember that move? I didn't remember that move.
Do you remember that move?
Yeah, it was called push out chest. Move.
Push out chest, hand swing back, ready for fire.
Yeah, I remember eight. That.
Yeah, yeah. But you're cool this week, yeah.
Cool every week, man. Cool every week.
Go on then. It's just carry on then.
Sometimes I feel just kind of like going at a different gear, you know. And it just depends on the season. It's like, say, you know, when the sun is shining, everybody feel nice. Everybody feel nice. And when, you know, you get the snow a fall, it's like, say, people are not having a time for anybody. You know what I mean? So, a pure love we are deal with, you know? But, yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you anyway. You know what I mean? Hey. Yo, what's been happening in the sports scene? Anybody picked up anything interested before we kick on with the show?
Nah, just hearing the little run-up to the Ben and Eubanks thing. Mm. And Eubanks, mm. Spardus, saying that, that he said he's not talking, running down his son, but his son is not... he's not one of these reflex fighters. That's, I think, the word he used.
A reflex
yeah,
fighter?
Yeah, he said he's not one of them. He said...
And this was Nigel saying this, yeah?
No, we're talking about Eubanks. Mr. Eubanks.
Oh, Eubanks.
Chris yeah, Eubanks. Kind of negative about
Junior.
It, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or senior.
Senior.
Chris Senior was kind of...
Okay.
He was kind of, in a way, running... He was kind of running him down, yeah.
Bottom line, to what I read about Mr. Mm-hmm. Senior... He's not confident that his son's going to pull it off.
Yeah, I'm picking up them kind of vibes too.
He's saying he's with certainty. I don't know if he's still with Junior's arrogance and some things like that, or the way he's been training or something, but he's not 100% saying his son's going to... He's going to be there. He's going to support him and stuff, but...
Do you know what? I mean, looking on the social sides, you've got, like, Connor... Kind of Ben, younger kind of fighter, so the intensity should be there, shouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? When you know when he's licking the punch bag and sparring and stuff like that, getting his shots out, his combinations, he looks kind of more kind of agile. And obviously, you know, Eubank Jr. is kind of like carries a little bit more kind of like his frame, you can say he's kind of more thicker.
He's more thicker. He looks,
you know,
more
I mean?
In that sense, he looks more ready, don't he, in that respect. When you talk about body wise, he looks like that. But
I don't know, because like in you know, if you put them in their own right, to me, both of them look ready.
They look ready.
You know what
right.
I mean? And you know, with Connor being the younger one, he could take it, because like Eubanks was saying that if he loses, he might go retire from fighting.
Yeah, he did say
and
that.
I'm thinking, is that an excuse already? I mean, people can see that two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
If I lose it, hence I'm not going to lose, because I don't want to kind of like retire from this. Or is it signing out and signing off? You know what I mean? You know, it could well be something like that. Yeah, just got distracted from the studio next door. We got a few people kind of just embracing themselves. You know what I mean? So you know, on the African scene, they might embrace one another. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man. So on with the show. 1806, and gonna talk kind of like horse racing. The Grand National's coming up.
Is it?
Next week? So again, we'll probably feature it a little bit more deeper. But a story has come out of this one. Welsh jockey riding the Grand National is allergic to horses.
Hold that.
And
work.
I said, you what?
Hold that work.
Allergic to horses. And the title, what some of these guys collected in his trophy cabinet, is quite big. I mean, the major wins. I go into his kind of record first. Tolworth novice. These are major wins, like I said, in 2021. Liverpool hurdles 2019. Racing awards, Leicester award. That's probably from Leicester Piggott. You know what I mean? Times two. 2015, and honours his champion conditional jockey 2015, Racing Excellence Hands and Heels Series champion 2015, Significant Horses Meteor, if the cap fits. I think they missed out, let them wear it, you know, that's what they say. National tip is riding three card brag. You know, it depends whether, if you're Irish, you're going to see it as tree. You know what I mean? 20-1. I think I'm going to be looking at that, doing some kind of homework on that, because at them kind of like odds,
yeah,
I like. 20-1. You know, and then next week, that odds could all be 12 or 10.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
so, you know, we're not kind of like, we're not advocates for betting or anything, but if you do fancy a little tipple, Grand National once a year, please bet wisely, you know, and like G say, if you don't have it,
leave it alone.
Yeah. So let's crack on, crack the whip, crack on. Just a little dig, a Welshman with allergic to horses. Yeah, these guys are saying, how does that work? But Sean Bowen, you know, rides 25-1 shot, three cards, or 25-1 shot. So I looked at odds on a different site, and that was 20-1. So the change, you know, fluctuate all the while, yeah, depending on what bookie you go to and stuff like that, yeah? 27-year-old Sean currently leads the Jockeys Championship awarded to the rider with the most wins over the course of a year. So it's quite handy in the saddle with a month of the season left. Bowen appears to have an unbearable margin of 32 victories above second place Harry Skelton. And Skelton, I think they've got a big family of riders. I think they normally deal with the show jumping, the Skeltons. I remember a guy called Nick Skelton and so on and so forth, but
he won quite a few gold medals.
Yeah, that's right. Big kind of racing family, that the Skeltons, isn't it? So not only are they show jumping, they're also, I think, you know, run the flats as well, or unless it's an overall assessment of the championship table. So you know, the Welshman from Pembrokeshire is seeking to cap it's all off with the Grand National success. on the Gordon Elliott trained 8-year-old. It's a remarkable feat, given to say that he's allergic to horses.
Does it say what the allergy is? He's got good horses. I mean, if he wins the national, that's a good way to finish off the season, isn't it? Well, isn't it? Have that under your belt too, well, yeah, to win the national.
Speak up, little.
But
little,
then there's little, always going to be that controversy again about the height they've got to jump and things like that. We know we're going to hear something about that next week as well, don't we, after it?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, you've got the people who are against, not just horse racing, but cruelty to animals. I'm sure they'll be protesting, you know, the one of the biggest events of the year. But, you know, let's dip in to Sean and, hear what this dude's got to say.
Allergic to everything as a kid, though. It was I had really bad asthma, really bad eczema, so if Dad would come in from clipping and there'd be horse hair everywhere, I'd be itching for days. And even now, sometimes if I spend all morning round horses, I'd be sneezing for the rest of the day. But with racing, it's not so bad. You're sort of on and off a little bit, and I don't seem to get the symptoms when I'm race riding, but if I'm round them all day, I still get a bit. Look, when I started to ride and I wanted to be the best I could be, I didn't necessarily think I could be in a position to challenge for a championship. But in the last couple of years, that's obviously something I've wanted to do. And with that, obviously, you have to ride a lot of winners. And it sounds silly, but like 1,000 winners isn't much when you look at sort of AP McCoy's record, but then if you look at other people's records, it's brilliant, and it will be amazing to do it. So it's something that I'm really keen to do very soon.
So allergic to horses and stuff, and he was saying that when he was growing up, he kind of like enjoyed football and used to play with his brothers, but they kind of like peered off and went into the horse kind of like, they got interest in that. So, you know, next minute there were nobody to play football with him, basically. So we thought, you know what, why not?
Go and join him, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And
so
this has made a good career out of it, hasn't he?
100%, you know. He's always dreamed of winning kind of like races and stuff. And with his kind of brother as well, they're kind of both kind of push each other, and it's kind of probably like a unique situation. You get, you know, your brothers in football, like the Jimmy Greenoffs, the Nevilles, do you know what I mean? And in horse racing, it's quite like a unique stuff, brotherly love or whatever you want to call it, you know. But he's ridden over 400 winners and is aiming for the Grand National glory as he rides Chantry House this weekend. Sean's best ride in the Grand National was on Noble Yeats back in 2023 when he finished fourth. However, as he heads into the ninth entry in Aintree Showpiece on the back of 163 victories this season, which is a hell of a lot, he hopes that he'll be able to turn a superb season into a spectacular one. What about that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you can get the national, I mean, that's the race to win into. I mean, that, for me, that's the premier of the horse race. It's the ultimate one, that to win that one.
You've got the national, and then you've got the derby. They're the kind of two, but I mean, the derby's more a flat race. The Grand National is more, it's over the sticks, isn't it? He's obviously an established jockey.
Mm-hmm.
So he's won 400 races. So he's got a chance. But again, he only has a chance on the horse that he's riding.
When it comes to the national, anything can happen, isn't it? Really,
it is. Yeah,
anything can happen in the national.
If they don't go over them hurdles right.
I mean, do your guys have a little flutter in the national at all?
I did at work, you know, on the sweet kind of thing. But horse racing, with all due respect, has never been my forte. It's not something that really attracts me. But yeah, it's a big event, isn't it? Yeah, and I think you know, your little kids and that. Put a 10p or a 20p.
Well, that's how I got into it with my dad. Same thing. I have a little go once in a while on the national. That's the only thing I bet on. I don't bother about any other race, but on the national, I'll throw a few. I'm tired. Maybe a couple of quid.
And what happens? What happens that morning? Do you kind of like make your assessment and that, or is, do you go for like a lucky name, or do you look at the form of the horses and stuff? How do you pick them out?
My technique.
Lucky dip, lucky guess.
My technique is just whatever name I like. I mean, I like
lucky dip, innit?
Yeah, you know, like, say, when you're a youth, innit?
Two pence lucky dip.
Junior read, and something just jumps on me. I like that one, and I'll just go for it. I do look at the odds and that, but like I said, when it comes to the national.
For them shirt. And if we see the correct shirt, or the correct colour, we just say, all right. Come true.
You see what I'm saying?
I think I'm a little bit more technical than me, really. I look for the trainers first.
Yes,
do you know what I mean? Because I said that a trainer, if it's a decent trainer, I'm just going to pluck out a name like a Skelton or something like that, then you know, said that this is horse good. It's like, I suppose it's like a football manager. You won't get Pep managing a side in the National League. You know what I mean? It's going to be
going to be
a top league. Yeah. So the trainer kind of gives it away. Do you know what I mean? If you've got a good trainer, you know that's it's a horse that's got potential.
And then it's the riders next, isn't it?
And then I'd look at the kind of form, that the ground, is it soft? Some horses like a little bit hard. You know what I mean? And also say just before a race, they're saying that if you see kind of like a horse emptying out its business, you know, it's just nyammed, and that's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign.
Little things like that, what I've picked up, you know. And I mean, I'm not no big kind of like betting man or something. But what I will do once a year, I'll kind of allow myself a little flutter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I might go each way. You know what I mean? You know, and it won't be a lot, but got a decent record in that. But you know, there's some kind of serious gamblers out there, what they're living at the bookie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's people out there that be throwing some serious corn at these kind of things and that. Mm. Like I said, for me, I just go on there, look at a few names and pick two, and that's it. All like what you just said, I wouldn't know a decent trainer because I don't follow the sport, so.
Yeah, well, just Google it, or just use AI intelligence. You know what I mean?
And going with the
it's all over social media. You know what I mean? It's just pressing buttons. You know what I mean? Just pressing buttons, man. You know? Just as...
Yeah, I get too deep for we know, you know? We all look panny, but we're just thinking, you know, hey. You man like the colour, I'm sure. It's me like, you know, so we make we leave it at that, though.
Technical, like how you technical.
I get too technical.
You want to see the body language of these two bulls in here, you know? Me afraid, you know? Me afraid of them. Jesus Christ. What a way, them wicked, eh? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know,
them I talked about last week, and all that kind of stuff. But the body, I mean, I know your listeners can't see it, but why? Man, need some bodyguard in here, you know. Help me.
No. It's all right. You see it.
You know, you're cool.
You see it. You see it.
Well, thanks for that reassurance, you know. Yeah. well appreciated.
That's right. Cool. Because you're more than safe, because we're not lick you in your face with no egg.
Hey!
Ovechkin is closing in on Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL goals record. Gretzky holds it right now with 894 goals.
Ovechkin fires, he scores! What a first goal for Alexander Ovechkin!
894 is a big number. Nobody thought that anybody would be able to even come close to scoring 894 goals. It was just thought to be an untouchable number. Gretzky was the greatest hockey player ever, and then Ovechkin comes in, and he's is the greatest goal scorer to ever play the game.
He has an area of the ice that he owns, that left-hand face-off dot at the side of the net. He has a phenomenal shot. There are other players that will do things that are more exciting. History, though, will say he is the greatest goal scorer in NHL history.
You started the season.
Yeah.
He's that good, is he?
And that's Alexander Ovechkin. I have to big him up. 39-year-old. Smashing it in the NHL League, which was founded back in 1917. Currently 32 teams in there. You know, there's 25 based US teams, 7 based teams from Canada competing in the Stanley Cup. So, you know, this guy, Alexander, you know, he was so calm. I was kind of watching something on his socials and was saying basically, you know, you're going to kind of like break this record. For those that who have just joined us, talking about ice hockey, the NHL player Alexander Ovechkin is very near to smashing a record and making history. So, yeah, big him up. Big shout out there for all the ice hockeyites out there. I'm sure they will be well aware of his record. I mean, you know, I don't mind watching a bit of ice hockey. It's kind of can get rough out there.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't mind when they're ready to see it,
to fierce off and tomp down. You know what I mean?
I mean, I can't believe they're still allowed that, though. You know what I mean? Gloves off, let's go.
Yeah,
and I see this man flinging punches for real. And
that's right.
You know what I mean? But that is part of that sport, and they still let it happen.
It is. You can buff a man and just.
But you can sit down and watch a hockey game. I've sat down and watched a hockey game before. It's all right.
It's quite a skillful game, you know. It's quite a skillful game, right? And you have to be, you have to set right, because if you're not set good, you're broke up in it. Broke up, you know, like Lego. Like old Lego broke. If you're not set good, you just broke up like Lego. We are coming.
I need your love.
Something I'm sweeting today. Am I just singing that thing song?
It's like he's in his own. I'm looking at him and thinking, what happened?
Yeah.
It's like he's in his own.
That's right. But I'm telling you, it's coming like, so we two just sit down here and watch this man now. You know what I mean? Come on, man. I do some sing song. But him attack, but him need some loving. Oh, Lord.
Well, you know, it was since one of the guys kind of like reassured me, you know what I mean? I kind of, you know, just shackles are off and I feel kind of like easy, you know, cool and easy.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
I want to talk about, who is it now? Just kind of like bear with me now. Yeah, going into the cricket situation now.
Okay.
Nicholas Cruton. Kind of like actively, the sources are actively monitoring Nicholas, his situation, after the captain, Nicholas Cruton, was arrested in Barbados. The local report says that the 26-year-old was detained at Barbados airport on Sunday, you know, of potential charges of drugs.
So let me just get this clear. This guy, he plays for England, yeah?
He's kind of like plays for Canada.
He plays for Canada cricket team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
International, yeah.
Right, okay. And it's been discovered that he had drugs on him.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, right.
No, he's not going to get out of that so easy, is he? Well, it's on him.
If he's been caught with it, I can't see how he can get out of that.
That's true. I mean, Nicholas had had 9 kg of, you know, some people might say it's medication, but it was actually 9 kg of cannabis. Like we said, he's, you know, we stopped at the Barbados airport, and he'll be facing some kind of very kind of like serious charges, Will Nicholas. You know, they said that they're taking matters seriously and remain steadfast in upholding the highest standards of integrity and accountability within the sport. You know, BBC, they contacted the Barbados police for comment. Christian was born in Barbados but eligible to play for Canada through his mother. He represented West Indies under-19s before emigrating to Canada, making his international debut in the T20 against Omar back in 2019. The battling all-rounders played 21 times in internationals, and 2020s T20s was appointed as captain back in July last year. Canada are preparing for their American Cup, and also featuring Cayman Islands also as well, with Bahamas, Bermuda and the United States, which began in the Cayman Islands on 18th of this month. So currently Nicholas is in custody, and it also kind of reminds me of a story. Was it Chris Lewis?
Oh yeah,
who played for England?
He did.
He did. And he kind of did some serious time.
Yeah.
You know,
he was found with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a little bandoli, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he didn't get captured, because I think they did. I think they once did some kind of program on him.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I couldn't believe, like, a guy like him, and he was doing well for England as well, went and destroyed his career like
that.
Yeah,
that's what you don't get in it. I mean,
do you know what I mean? I couldn't understand that, because he was doing well, because he was a bowler. He was actually a quick bowler as well. And he just destroyed his career like that by doing that little bandoole.
Making a little money on that side, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, like, cannabis don't bring that much.
It's silly. Weird.
Yeah. A warning to all them people out there, so you know what I mean? Because now the guy's facing some time, and it's joking business them are going with, you know? So this is a warning, a public warning to all them people out there, so.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, dear. Some of them might take it for joke.
Oh, dear.
But the problem he's got is because he's been caught with a quantity, isn't he?
That's right.
If you can't explain the quantity in it, is it?
And it's a fair amount.
9 kg.
Yeah, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's a fair amount for one person.
You're going to look at... Obviously, he's juggling. That's what
that's
they're going
right.
to say.
That's right. They're going to say he's distributing, simple, isn't
he? He's the dealer distributing. So
that's what they're going to say.
Another man could have messed up his career there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. I mean, you know, what he's got to ask himself... Is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
You know what I mean?
Too late,
you know?
Is it?
I mean, if it's for personal,
or was it worth it?
If it's for personal reasons, you know what I mean? And you know, some people can get it upon you know, prescription and all them kind of thing there. You know what I mean?
But he's not going to get that amount, is he? Not on prescription.
Nah, man. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, I mean, it's like the authorities and that. They're kind of like, you've got spotters, haven't you? You know what? Spot people. And, you know, there's certain body movements, what they do, what they look out for. These security people, them chain up and them have dog and all that kind of something there. You know what I mean? And it could be, yeah, you know, excuse, is your name Nicholas? You know, can you come this way? You know what I mean? And then body language and all just
Did
just
it say, was it a
window.
Search or did they just automatically pull him one side? Did his...
Them Harlem pull him, man. So you know what I mean? Them Harlem pull him, you know?
They've had a tip off then, aren't they?
Well,
that's true.
Could well be as well.
That's
you know
true.
I mean? Could well be as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, somebody.
I can't believe somebody who you just read out his stats for his career and everything. So that guy must be making a decent amount of money. What kind
I'm not sure. But obviously, he wanted little extras in it. You know what I mean?
Come
on. Want some extra money. You
it's
know?
Silly, I think. That's all.
Very silly, because now he's lost everything, hasn't he?
100%.
Everything's gone now. He's not making no money at all now, is he?
You know, in custody, Barbados. Lucky same bond here. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the food and all that kind of thing.
So he was born, he was born in Barbados. Yeah, he can eat the food and everything in it.
But everything he has now, they're going to look at everything to see how he achieved to get what he's got. Even if he bought them legit, because he's been caught with that now, they're going to scrutinize everything he has.
Yeah.
They're going to scrutinize everything because they're going to think, well, did he get it back? You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the only thing we're going to get caught with.
I'll go for checking phone and all that kind of thing.
Everything.
You know, if he's been making some big money behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, say, somebody's kind of like watching them. You know what I mean? Somebody could all get jealous and said, you know,
there you go.
Let's call him in. You know what I mean? You have them informer and that, you know, out there sort of. So, like I say, it could be, a big kind of like setup thing. You know what I mean?
Well, he's done now either way, so, you know.
Yeah, he's true, you know. So, all them people there who were thinking of, you know, earning a little bit of money on the side, you know, illegally.
Be
involving the drugs, like G said, make sure say you be careful out there. You know what I mean, God, you know, get saved. You know what I mean, you know. And I think the only thing what he can do now is obviously, you know, plead guilty, you know, and cooperate with the authorities. You know what I mean? That will kind of reduce whatever sentence he gets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, that's if he's found guilty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, so. There'll be a trial, and you know, I don't know about you, but them kind of them Caribbean cartel out there, so you know, they might take a little side of some favors. You know what I mean? You know,
well, we don't know. So
yeah, because remember that that bodybuilder Bertel Fox that time, that story what I told.
I remember that. Yeah,
could be a little side flex there. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the only way he's going to get off, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
And then people are going to know, but what's it still going to do for his career, though? It's not going to help his career, is it? It's just going to stop him from going and sleeping pan with next man and stuff, but, you know.
And sleeping what?
In a room with next man and the more and thing than anything going on, isn't it?
I don't know about that. Enlighten me, no?
No, we're not going to discuss that on the radio.
Anyway, so...
Let's move on.
Anyway, a different topic.
Let's move on.
A different topic, so let's,
What's an idiot? Idiot still.
Oh, here we go.
In fact, we'll come to like these guys say, well, move it on. So we'll move it on, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
We've got kind of like we'll get into the story and see what people are saying, because like, you know, female footballers, injuries are getting more kind of like severe, really. So people are questioning
the kind of surfaces that they're playing on, the pitches, surface.
They might question it, you know what I mean?
Right, okay.
So, you know, I just want to kind of like get into this kind of like story. They're saying that a number of high profile injuries have occurred in women's football in recent years. But could the type of pitches they play on be a contributing factor to that? Before we go into the story, let's just open that up. What does that actually mean?
Well, I believe if you're talking about you're looking at the different surfaces, aren't you? You're looking at the different pitches that they play on. Now, with all due respect, the men, yes, they do get the injuries, but them men are playing on carpets. They're playing on absolutely out of this world pitches, right? Whereas the women, they play on whatever pitch is available, really.
Oh, is that how it goes?
It's not really. They're not getting the same surfaces to play on. Now, it depends on which club it is, by the way. Now, for my club, which is City, which I think most of the people out there know, the women play on the same pitch. Sometimes they play in the Etihad, but then they have their own ground, and that pitch is like a carpet, right? So they're playing on top class pitches.
Then
you've got other female teams who might be just playing on, you know, a little backwater pitch. You know what I mean? Not great, and you can understand where them
injuries are coming from.
Come from. Because for me, you should be, all of you should be playing on the same surface.
Well, you would have thought so.
You should, all of you should be playing on the same surface, but it's clear to me that they're not. They're not doing that.
So what about this artificial turf what they use to plant? Do they still use them things?
I think lower down, the divisions.
You're talking about the 3Gs and the 4Gs.
Yeah, I think some teams will, because
I know those pitches are to play on.
Because the community can kind of like utilise
them
as
well.
And when the weather conditions get kind of like treacherous, they can just brush it off and they can still make the money.
They can still
So the further you go up, the more kind of higher standard grades, you know what I mean, come into play. But you know what I mean, the Seagulls hope to build, you know, a purpose-built stadium for the women team by 2027-28 season, and are exploring all scientific researches made, you know, to get the best facilities. I mean, you know, we know that Brighton, you know, not just the pitches, but their talent scouts are rated kind of like very highly. Sometimes I don't even know where them get them players from, but you know, when you see them play, it raises an eyebrow.
So we, when we're talking about scouting and stuff, I would presume that we're talking about scouting in the women's league as well, right? Because I think Brighton, if I'm not mistaken, as in the women's league, I think they're about mid-table. I think they're about mid-table, because City played them not too long ago and we beat them. I think it was 2-1.
I have to say though, until you just brought up the turf business, I always just presumed everybody was playing on the same turf, whether it was man or woman. I always just automatically presumed that, you know what I mean? So let me ask a question. Do you think that's fair then, how it actually is now, that women are playing on a complete different turf unless their club is right up there? Because to me, that just don't sound right.
Come again with that, yeah?
Just I mean, all right. Then like you just said, the lower teams in the women, they may play on some bangarang turf, whatever else. It's not up to scratch. Does that apply to the men's lower team? Do they play on the same kind of turf? Or are they playing on carpet turf, as CB put it as well?
I would have thought most league teams now, and I'm going down to like League One, and that would play on pretty decent pitches.
But that's not
I'd
right.
I'd agree with that.
I would say that most men's teams
are playing on decent pitches.
Right? Now the women, it's not always right. That's not the same.
I'm gonna say, is it not right? I can't understand how you can justify that as well. To me, that just, I'm gonna say, it's sexist.
Yeah, because the pitch is like a natural grass pond, but they're like kind of hard wearing, which means it can be drained and recovered to play on. So it's just kind of like same surface, but it's just kind of like maintaining the kind of grass. And I mean, I know when, say, Sheffield United went up, they kind of like took up their kind of entire pitch and all them kind of things. And I think they last for so long. If you imagine all the games being played on them and stuff, you know,
it's definitely some beating, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The women's Super League teams use a variety of grounds across the season, like, you know, what CV's been saying. But all the pitches meet the minimum elite standards required by the league license. So such as like Brighton's Broadfield Stadium is one of the only natural grass surfaces in the WSL, so which is the Women's Super League, which most clubs play on a hybrid pitch, you know. So it's, you know, I mean, it's kind of interesting to say that, you know, they're looking into it, you know, with the latest technology and stuff, looking into the injuries, which are getting worse. So yeah, something needs to be done by that. If we're talking about the welfare of the players, nobody wants to see a player getting injured, you know. So that's kind of interesting, really.
Yeah, I'm surprised that to say where women's football is now, how far they've moved up in the publicity that it gets now, and the following that it has, I would have thought it would have been treating them better by now, to be honest.
Well, we've just won the World Cup for women in the year 2035, I think it is. The World Cup will be coming to England.
Okay.
And it will be spread over over the country. So it's going to be
Some's going to be
in Scotland, some's going to be in England, and I believe some's going to be in Wales. But I know it's definitely going to be spread around the country. Mm-hmm. And obviously the final, you know where the final's going to be. It's going to be at Wembley, so...
Yeah, I mean, kind of like just, you know, with that kind of story, I mean, you know, women been playing football since the 19th century. Just coming out with a few kind of like facts here now. First recorded match was back in 1881. Between Scotland and England. First known associated women's team was the British Ladies, formed in London back in 1895. You know? So it's kind of like it's progressed and it's kind of like moving on. But something, sticking with football, that's not moved on. Sheffield Wednesday's Chancery now pay up. You know, so
it's still going on in foolishness.
Yeah, it's getting from bad to worse.
Oh, gosh.
Bad to worse. You know, I mean, we've all kind of like worked here, and can you imagine if your, you know, employer was saying, you know, I'm sorry, but you're not get paid this month or this week or today or whatever. How are you going to feel? Will that affect the mindset of the players? Do you think?
Of course.
That is a question I put of to other man.
Of course, yeah. If you're playing, you're kicking ball, come at the end of the week or the end of my mum and saying, me now appear you, of course it's going to upset the man. Hell, bus and junction block, same place as my mother would say.
Of course it is, because at the end of the day, everybody's got bills to pay.
Yeah.
And you've got, you know,
you need food to eat.
And you live to your means, don't you? And if, you know, they're telling you after the end of the month that, yo, you know the tuna man, right? The tuna man says, listen.
Do what, man?
The tuna man. Right? He turns around and says, yo, listen, we're not selling enough tuna this month. Right? So, we can't get paid this month.
Oh, the tuna
that's
man.
That's not on, is it? That's not on. Because at the end of the day, right? You've played your football. You're expecting to get paid. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can't come and tell people.
I mean, some people will say, just playing devil's advocate. Some people will say these footballers get enough corn. If they have to take a little hit, you know, here and there, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Then they should have enough corn to deal with that. You know, if it's kind of like Joe Bloggs, a member of the public, then he's going to be a little bit kind of like hard hit. You know what I mean? But anyway, they get enough corn. I mean, they had a full house the other day when they played the naughty neighbours. So where that money gone?
Exactly.
Where the money gone?
Well,
the players aren't getting the money, but my man still has his money in his pocket.
Yeah, is it because like he rents the grown out
to the club, doesn't he?
You know what I mean? So he could have took a hit, but he's kind of like just probably said, you know what? All this, you know, get paid this week. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
And how that would have got conveyed to the players. We'll know if it kind of like hits their kind of like mindset this week. You know, when they
play Hull.
When they play Hull. You know what I mean? So, you know, they could be in for a good hiding.
Well,
they could be in for a banger.
Well, we don't know. All I know that. Is all I'm saying is, from my captain, you know, Fiwi captain, he said, oh, it's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, you know.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It's nothing to worry about. It's just a minor blip.
It's a blip.
Well, the blip, they soon turn into bomb.
Hey!
The minor blip soon turn into so bomb.
There's no...
And you know, way, yeah? And you know so what bomb can do. Mm-hmm. Bomb can blow up.
Bomb blow up everything, innit?
That's right.
There's just no just way tell him again, CV, what Captain out. Said.
Yeah.
Just tell him again.
Captain said it's a minor...
A minor,
it's
you hear
a
that?
Minor.
This is somebody who supports the Owls. He says
right.
It's just a minor
it's
thing.
It's a minor.
Not getting paid.
What's troubling him?
You know,
that's what I want to know.
You know, he obviously doesn't take it. He doesn't see it as anything. You know what I mean?
I mean, come on. How can you expect the players to come out the week after and to play 100% without
that's
full
right.
potential to win the game, knowing that, in the back of the mind? Are we going to get paid this week?
That's right.
Or are we just going to get the 1 week or whatever? How's the money going to roll this week?
Yeah,
you can't play
on.
You can't kick ball under them circumstances properly, is it?
Definitely, 100%.
And you know, like if some of them man, them love them tuna sandwich. You know, if they don't, you know, if they don't sell enough tuna, it's going to hurt the man them feelings, isn't it? Because it's not enough
it's
tuna.
It's all going off down there, down at the house place, isn't it?
I mean, you know, Captain Mo saying it's a little minor thing, but we've got a statement from the club. They're saying that, you know, it's confirmed a temporary issue with the payment of players' salary for the month of March. This has occurred as a result of significant sums of money owed to the chairman's business, which has turned... impacted on the club's immediate cash flow. The chairman is working hard to resolve this situation, which we hope he does, at the earliest possible opportunity. In the meantime, thanks to everyone for being patient and understanding. But are they being patient and understanding behind the scenes? Because if you were putting on that blue and white shirt now, are you telling me that you're not going to be chatting with your teammates saying what there is happening?
That's right.
Of course you are.
You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
And you've got that guy called Charles who's on loan from Southampton.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be the lucky one because Southampton will be probably paying most of his monies.
That's true.
So he'll be saying, well, I've got my money. I don't business. You know what I mean? So, you know? But
it's not just within the locker room where the problem is, isn't it? Every one of these players that they've got a home. What is it doing to the home vibes now? Wife is expecting to go to the beauty parlor this week, or husband or whatever, and they can't go because they haven't got the money. This bill needs to be paid, like what CV says and stuff like that. Food, everything. You've now got to go into maybe other monies to survive.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So they can't.
I know you've
so
got, like you said, every footballers they can take a hit and all that, but we don't know everybody's circumstances.
That's right. Because everybody lives.
Let's just
to
look
the
at
mean.
It from a natural point of view. Everybody has to live. Everybody,
that's right.
Whatever else, you need the money.
Yeah, oh God, my God, she come again.
Yeah, me same runway. Chancery runway. You know, what this? The tax man, I'll go find him.
I remember this. Yes.
Come in, Delroy Wilson. Chan Siri, I'll go catch you. You know?
I remember them, yeah, tune. Yeah, I remember them tune. I have to run as fast as he can.
Next
because
week,
the tax man, I run
shoes.
After him and they're going to catch
people.
Him.
G's gonna bring his dancing shoes next week, just in case.
Alright, I'll
drop 2 foot,
right,
you know.
That's right, skank it up.
You know, me like if you do a little skank going.
Skank up in it, foot lift up in the era, you know, them style.
No, me can't go so far, me can't go so far. No, 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 no kicking that era, go on.
Changing the name of a football club can be quite difficult, as the whole city owner.
Just want to go into a little bit of history since we're talking about Wednesday, because people might be thinking. Where them get Wednesday from, you know what I mean? So this
English
is going to be explained.
Those founded in the mid-1800s, name changes happened somewhat often as teams would merge with other teams or move stadium, and everything was just a lot more chaotic. This led to some of the more interesting names in English football dying out. However, thankfully, some of those names are able to stick around, and today we're going to be talking about one of the more interesting names in English football and its origin. And that is the name of Sheffield Wednesday. The Sheffield part is simple enough. They play in Sheffield. But Wednesday is the interesting part. How did a football club end up being named after a day of the week? Well, to understand this,
we had them get
paid
on Wednesday, innit?
The
I think they got paid on Wednesday. Is that
in
right?
In the 1800s. There were mostly two ways the team got formed at that time. Either it was a group of workers, most likely from a factory,
you
who would end
right,
up
though.
Forming teams, maybe with the backing of the owner of the factory. Or another option was that a cricket team would end up forming a football team as a way of staying in good condition throughout the winter. This is actually one of the main theories for why football has 11 players, as that's how many players the cricket team had. Well, Wednesday have a bit of a legacy of both, as the club is named after the Wednesday Cricket Club, which was formed in 1820, who voted in favour of creating a football team to play in the winter months in 1867. However, the Wednesday Cricket Club got the name Wednesday after being formed by a group of six tradesmen, and Wednesday was their only day off, and therefore the only day.
So Wednesday was the only day off, you know what I mean? But so it looks like they might get many days off if they're not getting paid. They could even go on strike, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What would happen to captain then?
What would happen then?
That's right. And especially if they just a strike just pan Wednesday. You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? But anyway.
Just watch this space, see what's going on.
I feed them problem that it's not anybody else's problem. Other than the Wednesday themselves. So, but me glad too anyway. But still.
You know? what we'll do, we'll take some... We've got quite a bit of time deliberate, because most of the time we seem to run out of air time. So let's get into the business end of the show and look at just three fixtures, really. Oxford... United playing against the Blades in the Championship tomorrow, 3 o'clock kickoff. Oxford 19th in the league. Blades currently holding number one berth, you know what I mean? Which is obviously top of the league. Oxford lost 9 out of 10 against the Blades in all competition. Vinny Souza should be back. I probably would say that he'll probably start on the bench. Have they missed Vinny Souza? Well, yes, of course they have. But, you know, the deputants have been doing a good job. Chowdhury been doing an excellent job in midfield on loan from Leicester City. So, you know, it's got to be a win. You know, I can't really see United not kind of like collecting kind of like maximum points down there tomorrow. They'll be kind of well, you know, in high in confidence and stuff. And you could say it's in their hands, you know what I mean? Something that, you know, the Wednesday people can't really say at all. And this is something to all them kind of like Wednesday fans out there. As, you know, you could say the promised land. You want to remember this tune. The promised land, that's where they're heading. All this, captain.
Them not got no promised land, man. Okay, they can go promised land and broke up already.
Dennis Brown, what you say? All this.
So, who's going to promised land?
The tappers, innit?
The Blades.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
They're heading there. All.
Yeah, yeah,
heading
yeah.
There, you know?
Okay.
They're heading there, yeah, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If you're talking the Blades, yeah. I think they have to still talk about the Wednesday, man, then.
No, man. You know, there's only
tomorrow,
one place for me,
it's either going to be 2-0 to United. If not, it's going to be 3-1 to them.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I'll take that. You know, we ain't going to see it a 0-0, but I think United will kind of like set the stall out. They'll be patient, you know. If they go in at half time 1-0 or 0-0, that'd be a good half for them. You know, you start off with a point. You know, everybody starts off with a point 0-0, and then you just try to build on that. Yeah. And United are the builders away from home, so 3 points. In that game,
I would go for like a 2-1, might be a 2-1. But the main thing is to get the points. That's all that matters. It don't matter whether it's 1-0, 5-0, 6-0. Don't matter. As long as you're getting the points, that's all that matters. So yeah, I can see Sheffield United nicking this one, to be honest with you.
And staying top of the league, because we've got Burnley, who are really consistent at the moment. Leeds, you know, falling apart, you know. And it's kind of interesting. 7 to go. Sheffield United top of the league. I reckon they'll still be top of the league by 5 o'clock tomorrow. Sheffield Wednesday, they entertain Hull City. Like they said, you know, players ain't getting paid. Let's see if their mentality gets taxed tomorrow. Hull City, a bit kind of like hot and cold. Previous meetings with these sides, Wednesday have won 7 compared to Hull City 11. So, you know, Wednesday will have to be on top of their game. But I think at home, their defence kind of really suffers. And I think they're going to suffer again. Tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, I just think it's going to suffer naturally tomorrow.
They seem to struggle at home. They do seem to struggle at home. But our friend, the captain, may differ, but because I know he's going tomorrow. Yeah, so he might say, well, something different, but they tend to struggle at home.
Mm-hmm. And then into the Prem, we've got... Mr. Man City here to kind of take this away.
Oh, you're talking about Matty?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, about we're playing Man United. Yeah, that can go anywhere, that can go anywhere. The both teams are not the greatest at the moment, so that could go anywhere. Probably, I would say at the moment, we're playing a little bit more better than Man United. Right, I nearly said Mickey Mouse team then, but nah,
yeah,
that's
been
disrespectful to Mickey Mouse, isn't it, really?
And Minito, right. You know, don't forget
but
Mini.
I would say at the moment, I tend to go with my team to win this one, right? But, like I said previously, it could go anywhere, go anywhere, because they're both not brilliant. I went on... Wednesday night against Leicester, and Leicester were rubbish, but we just cruised through it. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a test. But then I saw that United played Forest, and apparently United played reasonably well. But they played reasonably well. But what was the outcome? They lost again.
Okay.
They still lost, so you know. So yeah, it could go anywhere, and in the ending, I'm obviously going to go for my team, and maybe a 2-1 win to City.
Yeah, some kind of like an interesting observation there, and I'll just kind of like come with some stuff too. Man United looking to do the double since over the rivals, Man City, since 2019-20 season. City have won more Premier League games against Man United than any other side. So, a bit of stats there for you. I think, obviously, you know, who will get the bragging rights of Manchester tomorrow? It's going to be a tight game.
It's on Sunday.
Sunday. One goal could probably do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's going to be 1-0, but I'm just saying that one goal could win it, like whether it's a 2-1 or a 1-0 or a 3-2 or something like that. But you know, I don't think Manchester derbies do 0-0, do they?
Grant Admini, to be fair, Grant Admini 0-0s, but we'll see. I can see we might just pinch it.
To what you're saying, I'm going to say it's going to be 1-0 to Man City then.
Mm.
They're just going to pinch it. Both teams are not playing as good as what they used to and anything like that.
I think Man United will really have to step it up, you know, and perform. I'll kind of go for... I'm going to be kind of a little